Are you storing up treasures on earth or in heaven? Are you focused on the temporal or the eternal? Hi, I'm Rob West. Jesus makes it clear in Matthew 6 that our hearts will always follow after what we treasure. Was he talking about money? Chad Clark shares his insights with us today, and then we'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, Chad Clark, our FaithFi Executive Director, joins us again today, which always means something exciting is in the works. Chad, great to have you back with us.
Thanks for having me.
So our team here at FaithFi has been spending some time in the Sermon on the Mount, specifically where Jesus talks about our hearts and what we treasure. And I'd like for us to talk about this idea today because it's really important for each of us to answer this question, and it's a central part of what we do here at FaithFi. Isn't that right?
Yeah, it absolutely is. Our vision here at FaithFi is that every Christian would see God as their ultimate treasure. And I want to unpack that a little bit today by looking at the Sermon on the Mount, specifically Matthew 6, 19 through 21. And I'd love to read that if that's okay, Rob.
Yeah.
It says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also."
Yeah, that's such a powerful verse and one we use a lot when talking about stewardship because it challenges us to evaluate what we treasure most.
Yeah, it really does. We can see what is it that our heart is really desiring. And we can look at this literally and replace the word treasure with money. And so it's common for us to say where our money is, there our heart will be also. And we can use this sometimes to encourage generosity for people to look at their checkbook to see where their heart really is based on what their treasure is or where their treasure is going. But I think there's another way that we can look at this word treasure, which actually isn't specifically treasure physically, but more of this idea of what do we value or what are we devoted to? I love kind of the parallels here between this Matthew 6 verse and what we see in Matthew 13:44, where Jesus tells us the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Now we see the word treasure here in both of these, but for this man in Matthew 13, there is nothing more important, more valuable, or more glorious than this treasure that he has discovered.
Well, that's exactly right. And so when we say our vision here at FaithFi is for God to be our ultimate treasure, what we're saying is that he becomes our heart's desire. He is our devotion. And that's really foundational to the way we end up managing money, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And Jesus follows up this statement in Matthew 6. We see in Matthew 6:24, he says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." You see, money is a terrible master, Rob, but it is a useful tool. I love how Paul David Tripp puts it. He says, "Money is one of God's good creations, but a good thing becomes a bad thing when it becomes a ruling thing." So the question that I want us to wrestle with today is, where is our treasure? Yeah. Is our hope, joy, safety, satisfaction, our identity found in money and the things of this world, or in the person of Jesus?
Wow. Yeah, that's a powerful question. And as you even say that, it makes me think how sometimes we may look to money to do what only God can do for us. Only he can provide hope and joy and safety and satisfaction when he is the object of our abundance.
Yeah, absolutely, Rob.
You mentioned how money is a terrible master, Chad, but it's a useful tool. So help explain how viewing God as our treasure impacts our usage of money in our remaining moments here.
Yeah, I think when God's the treasure of our hearts, it completely changes the way that we view and use money. We come to see money as a tool for his glory, and our desire is to just faithfully steward what he has entrusted to us. And that means that our financial decisions may look and probably should look very different from the rest of the world because we We aren't here to build our kingdom, but His.
Well, it's an important message. It's central to what we do here at FaithFi. And folks, if you'd like to partner with us to help others on their stewardship journey, would you consider supporting FaithFi? A gift of any amount would go a long way to helping us bring this message to more people. In fact, a gift of $25 or more would allow us to send you a copy of our new study, Rich Toward God. Just go to faithfi.com. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. We like to be in control, and when things begin to fall through our fingers, it can seem like life is falling apart. Thankfully, Jesus gives us the word to say in a short but powerful phrase. It's in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Now that's a prayer that changes lives. When we let go of our micromanaging ways, letting go of things we're clinging on to, when we pray like this, we're asking the Father to conform our will to His. At times, "Thy will be done" are the hardest words to get out, but always worth it. You'll see more of Jesus when you spend time in God's Word. Try out Anchor Devotional today. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
We're going to talk about this further issue. Our response. Who's behind this?
Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
Talk is cheap.
Honest. Insightful.
Doing nothing is creating chaos in the world. Danger for America.
Sandy Rios informs listeners from a Christian worldview.
It's time to act in the polls, because I have to tell you, most of them are just doing nothing.
Listen on the podcast page at afr.net.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
I'm so glad you've joined us today on Faith and Finance, right here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, and this is the program where we look at managing God's money in light of biblical wisdom, recognizing God's way is quite different than the world's way, starting with the idea that God owns everything. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. So we're then tasked as managers or stewards, you might say trustees of what God has entrusted to us, to manage wisely and faithfully. And we do that by looking to Scripture and understanding the heart of God as it relates to His good creation, money. We want to be an encouragement to you, help you answer those practical decisions and choices you're making in your financial life every day. So what are you thinking about? We've got lines open. We'd love to hear from you. 800 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'd also love to hear from you. If you have a testimony, perhaps you've been deploying these ideas from God's Word in your financial life, and it's been an encouragement to you. Maybe it's gotten you out of a difficult spot, or you've seen God's faithfulness in your life. We're actually going to hear a story a little later in the broadcast of one of our listeners where that was exactly the case. She followed this biblical wisdom, and God did something amazing in her life. You'll hear that in just a bit. But if you have a story, be sure to share that with us when you call 800-525-7000. Now, we'll dive in just a moment. But first, in the news today, you've probably noticed that auto insurance rates have soared in the past couple of years. That's largely due to inflation and the steep cost of repairs. Now, average premiums are running about 23% over last year at this time. Could some relief be on the way? Well, that's what economists at the Bank of America think, because several factors that have driven up the cost of auto insurance are beginning to ease. Three of those factors, higher vehicle prices, increased repair costs, and higher accident rates, caused many insurers to lose money over the last few years. Now, however, sales prices for new and used vehicles are trending lower. New car prices slipped 0.4% in April, and I understand that's not much, but that's the right direction. Used car prices fell almost a full 7%. Meanwhile, repair costs were flat last month after seeing an almost 8% increase over the past year. The Bank of America economists believe those factors will begin to put downward pressure on auto insurance rates. As to more accidents, that was because we were driving less during the pandemic. And so as people started driving more, of course, accidents increased. We'd advise you not to wait for your insurance company to lower your rates. That might not happen. It's always a good idea to shop around for lower rates every few years. There's no time like the present for that. Now, keep in mind, it's not all about price. You want somebody who's going to be quick to work with you and make sure that you're taken care of, that you are going to get claims processed, not only on a timely basis, but that you're going to get the service you want. So there's more to it than price, but hopefully relief is on the way. I know this has been a real challenge and a big part of this sticky inflation that we continue to see here in the United States. All right, we're going to dive into your phone calls today. We've got lines open. We're ready for you. 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's begin today in Missouri. Hi, Joseph. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. I was calling to see, get your opinion and some information about a charitable giving account, kind of how they work and what the limits are.
Yeah. So are you talking about a donor advised fund, Joseph?
Yes, that's exactly correct.
Excellent. I love this tool. It's one of my favorite giving vehicles. It's often underutilized. You might think about it like a charitable checking account. You can open one quickly online. You know, you can use one of the secular firms. All of them have them. We prefer that you use the National Christian Foundation just because that will ensure that you're never prevented from granting the money out to a ministry or charity that aligns with Christian values. And I'll get to that in a moment. But essentially, the way it works is you create this charitable checking account, what's called a donor advised fund. You make contributions to it, and those contributions can be cash or other assets, property, even a portion of a business, real estate. And when you make that contribution, you're essentially giving that money away to a charity, which is the donor advised fund sponsor. And by virtue of you giving that money away, when you put it in the donor advised fund that you set up, you get that immediate charitable deduction. And there are no limits as to what you can put in there. So you could grant an entire business, you know, sign it over to your donor advised fund in effect, and get that full contribution. Now, there are limits, however, with regard to how much deduction you can take in any one tax year. So, for instance, this year, the annual deduction limit for gifts to public charities, including donor advised funds, is 30% of your adjusted gross income for donation of non-cash assets held longer than a year, and up to 60% of your adjusted gross income for donations of cash. So a lot of people will use these donor advised funds to do what's called bunching, where if you have the liquid assets or even the non-liquid assets, you could go ahead and put in more than you plan to give in a single year, get above the standard deduction, itemize, take a much bigger tax deduction, and then give that away over time. So there is no limit, but there is a limit to what you can deduct. Now, you could push that forward and take that over up to 5 years if you had excess deductions that you weren't able to claim this year. Now, with regard to how it works once it's in there, you have advisory privileges over how it's managed. So is it in cash? Is it in investments? You can actually invest it inside the donor advised fund. And then the big idea is that you have advisory privileges over how and when it's granted out. So as long as you grant it out by making a recommendation on the grant to a public charity, your church or a 501c3 ministry, then the donor advised fund sponsor will honor those wishes and get that money out either in your name or anonymously, and you would choose that. So they don't develop strategies as to giving the money away. That's left with you with your advisory privileges. But technically, you have given the money away when you put it in, and that's why you can get that current charitable deduction. So let me stop there and just see what questions you have.
That answered most of them. I guess one would be is, would I need a, like some sort of a beneficiary on that account if something was to happen to make sure it goes to where I want it to go when I, if something was to happen, I passed away or...
Yeah, exactly. Yes. So you will have a beneficiary. And so a lot of times, you will, name a charitable organization as a beneficiary, or you can, leave it in your estate and then, have somebody else, manage that once you've, passed away. But the funds wouldn't be able to be distributed to an individual. They would just take over those advisory responsibilities.
I got you. Okay. Yeah. And what was the name of that company you recommended again?
Yeah, it's the National Christian Foundation. You'll find them on the web at ncfgiving.com, NCF for National Christian Foundation, giving.com. And they call it a giving fund. And so it's the same thing as a donor advised fund. And NCF was founded by Ron Blue and Larry Burkett. You may know those names. And one of the great things is that ultimately the sponsor is able to, reject a contribution, not a contribution, but a recommendation on a grant. So I like the idea of you being with a donor advised fund sponsor who shares your worldview just to ensure even generations down the road that it'll get to the place you want it to go, even if that aligns with Christian values. Hey, thanks for your call today, Joseph. We appreciate you being on the program. Back with more questions right after this. Stick around.
Hey, here's a question for you. Are you squeezing the most out of each kingdom advancing opportunity? In The Stand, Rick Robertson tells the story about a friend who took advantage of every chance to honor God by serving others. Do you know someone like that and want to be more like them? Rick's article, A Life That Excels, shows God's instruction on how we please Him and excel when we serve Him and others faithfully. Stop by afa.net/thestand and read A Life That Excels today.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Is God calling you to ministry? It's time to multiply your capacity for ministry with an affordable degree. The Bachelor of Arts in Christian Ministry at Wesley Biblical Seminary is the degree for you. When God called you to ministry, He called you to preparation. This degree is the education that you need to put all the pieces together for an amazing life of ministry. You will graduate with a confidence for ministry that is backed up by your competence in the scriptures, theology, and ministry. Come learn with a trusted seminary that will help you become a faithful leader. Learn more at wbs.edu.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Abraham Hamilton III, host of The Hamilton Corner.
American Family Association is on the front lines in the culture war in America. We've been here for more than 40 years, fighting for the biblical principles our nation was founded upon. And by God's grace, we are making a difference.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting American Family Association. Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got lines open today. We're taking your calls and questions and your testimonies. 800-525-7000. You can call right now. That's 800-525-7000. We've got room for you, and we'd love to tackle whatever you're thinking about in your financial life today. Let's head to Pennsylvania. Lynn, how can I help you?
Hello. I have a couple of questions. My situation is that we're in the 12% tax bracket, and last year we tried to itemize, but the standard deduction was just a little bit higher than our itemized deduction. Mm-hmm. And our charitable donations were about 15% of our gross income. Mm-hmm. So what I would like to do is double up on my giving this year and take that as an increased charitable donation and an itemized deduction. My question is that biblically and financially wise? Mm-hmm. And I've also heard that the Trump era tax laws are going to expire in 2025. So that's right. I was hoping to get your, is that true? And what's your advice on that?
Yeah, very good. Yeah, Lynn, I like this idea a lot. I mean, let's start with the biblical side. Biblically, you're required to pay all the taxes that you owe, but not one shekel more than that. And so if the IRS is going to allow you to claim additional deductions beyond the standard deduction by giving more, then you're perfectly entitled to do that. And the tool that would allow you to do that is the one that I mentioned to the previous caller, a donor advised fund. Very simple to set up, very low cost. You can do it in a few minutes online, and then you can give as much as you want in the form of cash or other assets to the donor advised fund. And in doing so, get a current year tax deduction for the full amount. And then you would make recommendations to the donor advised fund sponsor as to the time and the ministry or charity of your choosing for the disbursements moving forward. And that can happen over multiple tax years. It's really whenever you want to grant it out. It would just sit there in the meantime and either earn interest, or it actually could be invested in mutual funds and it would grow tax-free inside the donor advised fund. So I think unless you had a conviction otherwise after praying through it, I don't see anything wrong with that from a biblical standpoint. And financially, it makes a lot of sense, especially while we have this higher standard deduction, which I expect that it will drop down as the we see these Trump era tax cuts come to a close, unless, obviously the election's going to play into that and we'll see what happens. But if nothing changes, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017 will expire at the end of 2025 and will no longer be in effect in 2026. So I like this plan. I think it makes a lot of sense. It's a strategy called bunching. And a lot of financial advisors will recommend it to their clients for folks in a position like you where they have the assets to do it, and then, they can get a tax advantage in doing so.
Okay, very good. Is there any significant cost in setting up a donor advised fund?
There isn't, no. And so it's, you know, there's very little cost to set it up. There would often be, you know, ongoing, a very small percentage that's charged just to maintain it. And there are different price points. I mean, you can get very low cost providers out there. For instance, Fidelity Charitable and Schwab Charitable all offer donor advised funds that are very low cost, consistent with their business model. I generally recommend NCF, the National Christian Foundation. You will pay a little bit more there. For me, I like the peace of mind in knowing that because the donor advised fund sponsor is ultimately the one that is going to make the grant, they do have the ability to shut it down and say, you know, for whatever reason, a particular charity is on somebody's hate list and, you know, therefore they're no longer, you know, they're off our approved list, so to speak. And so it's conceivable that something that aligns with your Christian values, a particular donor advised fund sponsor may not allow that grant to go out. And so that's why I like being with an organization that would share your values as a Christian, so you'd have control over where those ultimately, you know, end up. But that's up to you, and you do have to look at the fees associated with it. But again, it should be very minor with the amount of contribution dollars we're speaking about in your situation.
And so my tax deductions occur when I contribute to the donor advised fund.
That's correct. So when you make the contribution to the donor advised fund, it'll sit in that account. You've technically given the money away, which is why you get that immediate tax deduction for whatever you put in it. Now, whether you can claim 100% of it in the current year, you know, again, goes back to those limits. But that's why you'd be able to carry that forward into multiple years. And yes, you have control over when it's granted out in terms of the timing of that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Yeah, if you want to check out ncfgiving.com, again, it's called a giving fund. That's their name for a donor advised fund. We appreciate your call today very much. James, we'll be coming your way after the break here. We're headed to a break here in just a moment. Let me tackle an email. This one came to us from Paulette. She says, I have two private student loans that total $70,000 and have interest rates of 9.5% and 10.5%. Would it be wise to try to get a lower interest personal loan or to refinance the existing loans? And what I would say, Paulette, is because these are already private loans and because the interest rates are high, you know, I'm not seeing an opportunity for you to do much better than that. I mean, you have pretty much the prevailing interest rates for today. Now, a couple of cautions here with regard to refinancing that don't apply here is if they were federal, and this is just advice for everybody else listening, I would probably keep them federal and not refinance them privately because you'll retain the income-based repayment options. If you got into a difficult financial season, you'd be able to take advantage of that. For you, Paulette, I would wait until we see rates come down because you're probably not going to do much better. And therefore, it's not going to really benefit you. But if we see over the next year or two, perhaps, rates down considerably lower than they are today, that would probably be the time for you to look at refinancing. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Did you know the average person walks nearly 2,000 miles a year? Now think about the millions of children around the world who risk disease and miss out on opportunities simply because they walk those 2,000 miles without a decent pair of shoes. Around the world, Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls provides access to health, education, hope, and opportunity through the gift of shoes. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child right now.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jessica Peck, host of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, the home of happy parents and healthy teens on AFR.net. I serve as your expert guide to engage, equip, encourage, and empower you to navigate life's toughest issues with your teens. We explore health impacts and home strategies to create a safe space in an unsafe world. The Dr. Nurse Mama Show on AFR.net.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have 3 money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We've got lines open. We'd love to hear from you. We'll head back to the phones here in just a moment. But you know, our why every day related to this program is around life change. It's around seeing lives transformed as you understand the heart of God and apply His wisdom and an eternal perspective to your role in managing money. And that changes everything. In fact, when you manage money God's way, it frees you up to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life so that your financial decisions don't get in the way of what God is trying to do. And we love to hear those stories of life change. In fact, let's take a moment to listen to one of those right now.
Thank you so much for this program and everything that you do. I've just learned a tremendous amount of wisdom with finance and how to kind of tackle investments. So you always would say to save up 3 to 6 months of an emergency fund before you make any kind of crazy investment. And so I started doing that, and almost to the exact day that I saved up 6 months of an emergency fund, I lost my job and God called me into global missions. So because I had the 6 months emergency fund there, I didn't have to be frantic and look for a different job, and I was able to really focus on my ministry and go to training that I needed to do, and I expedited that entire process, and I literally leave for the mission field in January. So without this program and your advice, who knows where I would be right now, but I just wanted to call in and just say thank you so much for everything that you do.
Incredible. That's what it's all about, folks. We're so grateful for those stories. By the way, if you have one of those stories about how God has worked in your life as a result of God's wisdom that we share in this program, we'd love to hear about it. But I would love to ask you, as you hear that story and you think about what God is doing through this work here at FaithFi in partnership with American Family Radio, that you consider a gift to the ministry. We're headed here at FaithFi toward the end of our fiscal year, which is June the 30th, so just over a month away. And as we try to close the gap on listener support of just under $75,000 remaining, a gift of any amount would go a long way to helping us finish the year strong and prepare for another year of ministry here at FaithFi. And so if you'd like to support our work, perhaps you listen regularly and you'd like to make a gift, we'd invite you to head over to faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com, and click give at the top of the page. You can give right there online. You can give over the phone. You'll also see the address to send in a gift. And by the way, with a gift of $25 or more, we'd love to send you our brand new study, Rich Toward God, that I think will be an encouragement to you. But A gift of any amount before June the 30th would be an incredible blessing. Again, it's faithfi.com. Thanks in advance. All right, we're going to go back to the phones here. We've got lines open. We'd love to hear from you today. 800-525-7000 with your financial questions. Let's go to Virginia. Hi, James. How can I help, sir?
Good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. We appreciate your call.
Yes, sir. I've got a question. I've been looking at CDs and just have had a hard time deciding where to look, you know, and to kind of find out which ones. You did give me some good information in the past, a website, and it was very helpful. But, you know, I know now that it wasn't time for me to do it because there's a group that our church used a couple of years back for lending to build onto the church, basically an addition that we did. Mm-hmm. And they've been really good about offering other services to us, like wills and that sort of thing. And just recently, I went to one of their seminars that they hosted at our church, and it was they had mentioned things like you could invest with them because obviously they're a lender, so they offer CDs. Their rates were competitive. I was just kind of curious what your thoughts on that. Obviously, I'd love to support somebody that supports the building of churches, and that seems like it's solely what they do is church additions, church plants, that sort of thing.
Yeah, very good. I think if it's a conviction of yours and the rates are competitive, it would be certainly worth looking at. I think you just have to acknowledge that there's a slightly higher risk profile here because I would pretty much guarantee this is not FDIC insured. And so the question is, if we were to have a higher than normal percentage of defaults, you know, on church loans because of an economic event, or, you know, we don't know obviously what their lending standards are and so forth as an organization. But, you know, is there a higher risk with these CDs versus something where the government would backstop it if for some reason there was a failure and they couldn't provide the liquidity? Yes, there is higher risk there. But I think you need to put that alongside the fact that, you know, you perhaps have done your research. This is a respected organization. You've done the reviews. You look at kind of their overall, the scope of their ministry. I mean, how many loans have they funded? How large are they? And all of that would speak to the liquidity that they would potentially have. And so I think we've always got to balance the financial side with our conviction side. And I think the idea is you may be absolutely willing to elevate that risk profile slightly in exchange for knowing that I'm getting a competitive interest rate and I'm putting funds into the kingdom because this means more lending to more churches. And who doesn't want that? So I think as long as you understand what you're getting into, you know, I don't have a problem with it, especially if this isn't, you know, 100% of your investable assets, if that makes sense.
It does. And you brought up a good thing with the FDIC. I hadn't thought about that. And as you were talking, I was listening and I was looking through the information, and they do make it a point to say it is not FDIC insured. So that's good information as well. Just, I guess, one more question.
Sure.
Depending on how much I put in, do you think with the way rates are now, would it make sense? You know, they offer 6 months, 1 year. Would it make sense to put it all in one or the other, or to maybe divide it half and half? Is there any logic to splitting it and maybe doing two of them?
Yeah. Are they in fact CDs? I mean, is there a specific period of time and then a commensurate interest rate with it? Or is it more of just kind of a high yield variable account?
It's a CD.
It is. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think what you're seeing here is that rates are probably at or near their peak. And so you're just going to have to balance this idea of locking in the current rates with how much you're going to get by extending it. What I'm seeing right now is that probably something in the, you know, 2 year range is probably where you're going to maximize these high interest rates, but not miss out on the ability to get, you know, that interest a year from now. And what I mean by that is we expect that 12 months from now, rates will be a good bit lower than they are today, which means if you put it all in a 1 year CD, you would probably not have the same opportunities 12 months from now. So I would probably, depending on what your cash flow needs are, divide it between a 1 year CD where you're going to get the very best rate and a 2 year CD where you're going to, on that portion of it, get a better interest rate than you'll be able to get 12 months from now for the full 2 years, if that makes sense.
That is exactly what I was hoping you were saying. While you were saying that, I thought of one more question.
Sure.
It's uncomfortable for me to transfer large funds. Is that something I should be concerned about, or just reach out to them, they handle it, and it's done?
Yeah. No, I wouldn't be concerned about that. I mean, you're probably going to be using the ACH system, which is kind of the bank plumbing system, if you will, in the background that runs electronically. And, you know, literally billions of dollars are moved every day through that system. There'll be a paper trail on it electronically, of course. But I wouldn't be concerned about that in terms of moving the funds. You know, there'll be banks behind that that'll be able to track all of that every step of the way through. So, James, we appreciate your call. I hope that was helpful to you, my friend. May the Lord bless you. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Jerry Boyer stops by. We'll see what he has on his mind right after this. Stay with us.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
You look at three of the four justices there in Colorado that voted to remove him from the ballot. They all came from Ivy League schools, schools that had been created as divinity schools. What a picture of the apostasy in America when it comes to the church.
Stay informed with Tony Perkins and his guests on Washington Watch, weekdays at 4 p.m. Central on AFR, or catch up anytime with the podcast at AFR.net.
When money takes a place that it was never intended to take, competing with first position in our lives, taken out of God's original context, our goal is to make sure that money stays in its proper context as a tool to accomplish God's purposes. We want to help you do that as we look through the lens of Scripture at the practical decisions and choices you're making every day. And so let's talk about it.
Faith and Finance with Rob West, weekdays at 9 a.m. Central or on the AFR app.
Are you looking for a financial professional who aligns with your biblical values? Certified Kingdom Advisors are trusted financial, legal, or accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure they provide biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We'll be talking to Jerry Boyer here in just a second, our resident economist, but we do have lines open, and perhaps we'll get to one or two more questions before we round out the broadcast. So if you have a question, you can call right now, 800-525-7000. Each Friday in this segment, Jerry Boyer stops by. Jerry is president of Boyer Research. He's also a columnist in the World News Group, World Magazine. And Jerry, looking forward to hearing from you today. I know you've been busy, a lot going on. Why don't we start with what's happening on the corporate engagement front?
Well, it was a big week. Amazon had its annual meeting. A number of companies did, but American Family Association was very involved with the Amazon proposal, which looked at taking down content in a religiously or politically biased way. And Amazon clearly had a history of that. They took down When Harry Became Sally, a book by Ryan Anderson, very responsible, respected Christian intellectual who simply applied traditional Christian teaching to the question of gender transition. And the book was banned. They also have banned other trans skeptic books. Now, they've got a lot of stuff. You can get Mein Kampf there, but apparently you can't get a book that says, hey, maybe we shouldn't be, you know, performing surgery on children who are confused about their gender, much of it irreversible. So Walker did a proposal. We helped with that, but he did it. He did the presentation, and he pointed out that they have terms of service which say that they can ban or, you know, refuse to sell a book or video or anything for that matter, based on, quote, hate or intolerance, which, of course, you know, as he pointed out, as Walker pointed out, everybody accuses everybody else in their views that they disagree with of being hate. So that means that Amazon can do whatever it wants. If Amazon says we can ban something if we think it's hateful or intolerant, that means Amazon is saying we can ban pretty much whatever we want. Which is not a good look for a bookseller. And so he also pointed out that, board members are, welcome to give to whatever causes they want to, but the board of Amazon gave 32-1 to the Democrats over Republicans. So this is not a politically balanced board by a long shot. And it supported all sorts of things like the Equality Act, which guts the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. So Amazon is clearly signaling what their agenda is. And so if they give themselves permission to ban whatever they don't like, we know, as Walker said at the end, we know what you don't like because we see what you've banned and we see who you give to and we see which causes you endorse. And that's not in the interest of shareholders. So it was a great board meeting. It didn't pass. The shareholder resolutions never do pass, or almost never. By the way, this is an interesting thing. I told you this was coming down the pike. There are these sneaky attacks on Israel that are being put on corporate ballots. And if you look at them, they have innocent-sounding names like due diligence in customer relations. And then you read into the details, and it turns out that the customer that they want to do a due diligence on is the Israeli Defense Forces, and they're pressuring Amazon to cut off Israeli Defense Forces from cloud services. So they're actively in a war with Hamas right now to cut off their services, to blind – it's interesting. Samson was blinded in Gaza. To blind Israel at this moment would be a bloodbath, and these have been sneakily pushed through. That was defeated as part of our engagement, which includes on behalf of AFA. We put in a statement of opposition to it with the SEC, pointing out what the real agenda is. And if someone was going to deny that, it's interesting. The person who presented it said, I'm a proud Palestinian American, and then went on to promote this. So it's very clear that this is kind of Palestinian ideology versus Israel, which they refer to as an apartheid state. So that's why you have to read these and keep up on it, because they have sneaky titles. So I have no doubt a number of nice Christian folks who have money with retirement, there might even be Christian asset managers, support this stuff because people aren't paying attention because there's a lot of sneakiness going on. So you have to really be diligent when it comes to this and make sure that you're not trying to disarm Israel in a moment of existential crisis because somebody isn't reading these proposals. So those are kind of the big items in terms of corporate engagement this week.
Yeah, that's really helpful, Jerry, and thanks for your work to shine a light on that. You and Walker are staying busy, it sounds like, but it's important work. All right, let's pivot to the markets, Jerry. We saw a pretty big sell-off yesterday. I don't know whether or not it was tied to the NVIDIA earnings or the market was just taking a reprieve because we've been on such a strong movement upward. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think the main thing this week was probably the Fed minutes coming out. So the central bank makes its decision and has an announcement 8 times a year where they say either we're going to pump money into the system or we're going to pump money out of the system. They don't say it that way, but that's mechanically what's going on. Instead, they say we're going to lower interest rates or we're going to raise interest rates. But we don't know why. So the minutes from the meeting aren't released until weeks later. So we just this week got the minutes from the last meeting. And basically what they said is they don't think they've beaten inflation yet. Well, in their mind, remember, we don't have to think about, when you're thinking biblically, you would expect that, how are we going to put that through a biblical lens and we're going to fight inflation? But if you kind of put yourself into their mindset, they think that the way they have to fight inflation is to slow down the economy. So that means that markets acted as though they were going to slow down the economy to fight the inflation. I mean, it's good that the Fed is admitting they haven't won that battle yet, but it's bad that they think they have to slow down the economy to win that battle. And so markets sold off as a result. Also, NVIDIA, not being able to keep up with some of the astronomic projections or expectations. We've talked about this. Yeah. This always happens when new technology comes along. It's interesting. It's intriguing. We're supposed to be productive. Technology is a gift of God. We turn it into an idol. In financial markets, an idol is a bubble, right? Something that we turn into an idol in our hearts, yes. That's reflected in financial markets by bubble valuations. And then idols always fail, the Bible says. You become like them. They're blind. They have eyes, but they're blind. They have ears, but they can't hear. They have mouths, but they can't speak. So AI cannot possibly live up to the idolatrous expectations of it being more important than, I don't know, the invention of the wheel or something like that, or the internal combustion engine, and so was bound to disappoint. And I think that's part of what was going on here too. So kind of a double story here, the Tower of Babel aspirations that humanity can build the perfect utopian society without God always runs into reality. And in markets, that's been the central bank's failures. And inside the companies, I think that has been a misunderstanding about what's realistic about what we can expect from AI.
That's well said, Jerry. As we finish this out on the markets, let me read you a quote from your friend and economist, Brian Westbury. I want to get your thoughts on it. He says, for the record, I'm still bearish. The S&P 500 is roughly 20% overvalued. Evidently, many think the Fed can just keep managing all this, and if the market goes down, it will just cut rates. But that's what everyone thought in the 1970s, too. State-run capitalism doesn't work. Your thoughts?
Hey, Brian's brilliant. I don't think I can disagree with anything there. Brian has a great track record of forecasting. I think we've disagreed maybe once in our whole history together. That was in 2007, 2008, where he was a little more optimistic than I was. I guess I'm taking a little cheap shot there. But that's the one time I think we disagreed. I think Brian's right. Bob Dahl said something pretty similar, and David Bonson also said something similar at Kingdom Advisors. They can't manage their way out of this. It's going to be really hard to get kind of long-term breakout returns when the Fed is basically filling a bubble, then it drains, or like a balloon, fills the balloon a little bit, then it drains the balloon a little bit, then it fills the balloon a little bit, going back and forth between their conflicting mandates. Like it says in the book of James, double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So, I agree with Brian.
Yeah, very good. All right, Jerry, always enjoy it, my friend. Have a great weekend and a wonderful holiday on Monday, and we'll talk to you next week.
Same to you. God bless.
All right. That's Jerry Boyer, folks, our resident economist, and we always look forward to our time together. Let's round out the program today by talking to Tammy in Mississippi. Go right ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question about a whole life policy. I'm calling for a friend of mine, age 68, and he's had this policy, goodness, since the early 90s. And the issue for us is he doesn't need the money for death benefit. He's got that covered. But it says that there is a cash surrender value of $36,000. But our concern is, do you actually get that money? How do you discontinue it? What happens to the money in these policies that he's already put into it?
Yeah. Very good. Yes. So the cash surrender value is in fact cash that's available to you. And it, in most cases, that cash value life insurance is not taxable as it grows within the policy. So it's tax deferred, which means it could be taxable as you take it out. So you'd want to understand that. But yeah, you should be able to take that out. The implications would be, Tammy, that you're collapsing the policy. So that death benefit would no longer be in force. The policy would be canceled and they'd send you a check. But you absolutely can do it. And to your point, if the death benefit is no longer needed, I like that idea. And I think you should be able to take that and put it to better use.
Great. Thank you so very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. And check with your CPA on that. You may find that, like I said, it isn't usually taxable, but you just want to make sure nothing catches you by surprise there. Thanks for being on the program today. May the Lord bless you. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us. We've covered a lot of ground today. Always appreciate Jerry, and great to have Chad Clark here. Let me just finish by saying we'd love for you to support this work here between now and June the 30th. If you've found the program them helpful, just head to faithfi.com and click give. And I wouldn't be able to do this without my amazing team. Serving us today was Jim Henry on research, my producer, Devin Patrick, also our call screener today, Dr. Robert Youngblood. So thankful for those gentlemen and everyone here at FaithFi that makes this happen every day. Hope you have a great weekend. Come back and join us next time on another edition of Faith and Finance. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.